welcome back to the latest episode of the Master of None podcast. I am your host, as always, Stephen, joined by the regular rugby crew of Sam and Westy. Boys, good to have you back. Westy, how are you?
Good, thanks, Murph. How are you doing?
Just because I replaced you yesterday again. Just, you know, you're in your app.
Man, I'm. You know, we have contract talks this week. You know, I don't know if this relationship is going to continue.
Twitter was a buzz last weekend. There's some people trying out for spots. And I got called a cheapskate, which I didn't appreciate. I didn't appreciate, Westy. I'm a Cavan man. The stereotype's there already. I didn't appreciate
peeling orange in your pocket.
Yeah, so many great jokes that I haven't heard before. Sam, how are you?
Grand, yeah. Getting through. Back in work this week, thank God. So
that's a good good response there, Sam. You're still hired. You're still hired. Westy, thin ice.
I've got offers, man.
I'm a diplomat. From who? I'm always going to give that political diplomat answer. I'm never going to go too far. Yeah. Never going to upset anyone. I know where my bread is buttered.
Yeah, you're the massive wage you're on here. It's too good to lose, isn't it?
I'm on that sexton contract.
So I'm going to have central contracts for the podcast.
Yearly essential contract. I'm on that Ben Healy essential contract.
Westy, you're on the now sexton. Like, I might give you a year extension, but we'll see how it goes.
I'm John Cooney. I'm just so underappreciated.
Yeah. You are. Speaking of John Cooney, we've got some Pro 14 to recap. A little segue there for all you podcasters out there.
Finally, some positively in Irish rugby we can talk about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so four wins for the four provinces, which is always great to see. What game will we start with, boys? We'll start with the Munster game, actually, because I watched it back fully today. And it was, I think the main thing that stood out to me, guys, was Andrew Conway with hair. How do we feel about it?
I actually had to look twice. I didn't recognise him. We haven't seen him play for him, so we haven't seen him in a while.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it does look weird. He probably doesn't suit him really, but it happens regularly, I find, with soccer players. Like, for one example is Skirtle, who used to play for Liverpool, who was a scary bald man. And then one day he just had a load of hair and everyone's going, "You've been doing this by choice?" And it's like the same thing, I think, with Conway. I'm like, straight away, I think that he looks like he's, you know, he could grow hair. Why not do it before? But
Conway went from looking like, you know, across the street because he's walking the same side as you to, like, you know, like a very much a nice guy. Like, he looked intimidating as fuck with the skinhead. Do you know what I mean? He looked rough. And now he kind of looks, I don't know, I just didn't.
Do you look like your mate who just came back from, like, going to Thailand for the summer? And he wears, like, some baggy string vests. And there's a picture of him on Facebook with, like, glow-in-the-dark paint on his face.
He went to find himself, and he found himself eventually doing drugs in Thailand.
Don't be so hard on people who find themselves in Thailand, guys.
Yeah, Westy, that was really definitely good experience. Westy, did you find yourself? That's the question.
No, I actually lost multiple of my possessions that I still have to go back and look for.
Including your dignity. That's never coming back.
Ah, Jesus, man. It's a hard to keep track of where I last sat at this stage.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless it's on this podcast, right?
So far. This game, Sam, I was watching this back, and this was a proper Munster game, wasn't it? It was a game, wet, windy conditions, physicality was king, not many mistakes to make, and, like, Munster just love those games, don't they?
Yeah, and I think it was the type of game that the Munster players were definitely all up for. I think, like, we can gripe being in Connacht about players in the Irish squad and players deserving their place, and, you know, Ulster can gripe as well, but Munster have a little bit of a gripe, and I think a few players went out with something to prove, and that was kind of, like you said, there was no mistakes made. It was very, like, very kind of, they just cut and dry what they did, and it was brilliant to watch. It was great, but it was the type of game I think they all relished, you know, just cutting down on any mistakes and playing in that horrible conditions just suited them at the time, and I don't think Edinburgh really had any answer for anything.
No, Edinburgh were pretty sluggish in a lot of areas. But Billy Holland, you know, celebrated 240 caps for Munster. Westy, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's one of those people. I mean, we kind of talk about these kind of clubs stalwarts every so often. I think he has one cap for Ireland, but just such a fantastic servant to his province. You almost wonder, how come he didn't get more of a look in the Ireland squad? But I think it's important, like a lot of these, like particularly in the cases of Munster, maybe Leinster have a big enough squad that's not as much of an issue, but teams like that and teams at Connacht as well, like you really kind of, you need somebody like that, somebody stable when you have such a raft of players going off the international duty. You need that pillar of your attack. You need that kind of person who is, I suppose, a constant in the squad. No matter how good they are or informed they might be, you kind of are banking on them not going into international duty so that you can still kind of organize your attack and defense around them, or that you have that kind of that same voice calling every week, you know, kind of inspiring or instructing or whatever, however you want to phrase it.
It's definitely something beneficial. I know we were talking at the weekend, but Leo Cullen is a prime example. Like, you know, he was quite a mainstay with Leinster and not as much in the Irish.
Sorry, did you say Leicester?
Yeah, Leicester first. But then, no, when he was back at Leinster after that, and he was not really in the Irish squads at all. So Leinster made him captain, and it was such a smart thing to do, even though O'Driscoll, you know, I mean, like a king in Leinster and Irish rugby terms. But like having someone there week in, week out makes a lot more sense to be the captain. And players like that are invaluable, I think. Like, I was reading an article this morning about Bundiaki's influence in the dressing room and on the pitch in Connacht. But, you know, I was surprised to see that he's only played 6 games this season, and that's through, you know, a mix of injury and being called up for Irish duty. So you can understand why Bundy, who we would all think might have deserved to be named captain, wouldn't be named captain. So those sort of players are massively, massively important in your squads. And for teams like Munster, if you are playing that regularly with a team like Munster, you would be expecting your Irish call-ups to have. So to have someone so experienced that is there regularly is actually, like, I know, I'm sure he won't enjoy us saying what it's a benefit to Munster. I'm sure he'd be like, no, give me the caps. I want to play for Ireland. But no, it is. It's in the long run for Munster. He's been there, you know, three or four generations worth of players. Like, plenty of players go through 60, 70 cap careers with teams, and he's been there for 240. So it's an amazing feat. Fair play to him.
Can't believe neither of you mentioned John Muldoon. I just assumed that was.
We're trying to be cool.
I couldn't believe it. I was just waiting for it. It didn't happen. But
we would never be so biased. 330 caps he got for Connacht in the end. Ireland caps.
Good luck, Billy, getting to that.
We were trying to play it cool, Smurf. But yeah,
let's talk about Connacht then. So let's move on.
Monster game done. Now, Billy Holland, one man of the match or player of the game, whatever the term is now. I thought a player Munster have that's fastly becoming one of those players is Jack O'Donoghue. He was immense again at the weekend. He's one of those players who he never seems to have an off day. Like, he always seems to be incredibly up for games no matter what the situation is. The dirtier the conditions, the better he seems to play. He was fantastic. Coombs was fantastic again. But I have to say, I was really impressed with Craig Casey this weekend. I thought he really, of all the lads that were kind of on the fringe of the Irish pack, and I thought, along with Jack Carty, he really kind of put his hand up, being like, you know, I'm good enough. And he was brilliant. That, like, not only his actual play, like, he's barking orders at his players that are, you know, he's barking orders at Billy Holland, who's got 240 caps, and, you know, Craig Casey has, what, a handful. Like, he doesn't seem to care. He's full of energy. He takes ownership. And there was a lot of stuff I liked. It's almost looking like, I'm not talking about talent here, but like an Aaron Smith or a TJ Perenara, where like they just never kind of shut up, but like in a good way, you know? Like, I don't think Murray is as talkative or as vocal. Maybe he is, maybe you just don't notice it as much. But Casey, even, like, you know, that scrum penalty they won late in the game, like, he's just shouting at the referee, like, they haven't hooked it, and like wins the penalty for them. And he was incredible for Munster. Sam, did you find similar views with Casey's performance?
Yeah, obviously I kept a keen eye on him because of the talk recently about him being in the Irish squad and not getting on. You know, I was like, okay, I want to have a proper look, because I've obviously seen him as much as anyone else, but that's not that much. You know, he hasn't been a mainstay for very long, and he's still probably the second choice, push comes to shove in the semi-final or final of the Pro 14 or Heineken Cup. So I kept an eye on him. And one thing that really impressed me was, like, I know we talk about how he could have changed the game last week with the pace he brings on, and he does. He brings such a quickness to the ball. He recycles very well. He uses it very quickly, much quicker than Gibson Park did at the weekend. But another thing he does is he brings an absolute energy to everything. I thought, like, he was sprinting to every penalty and sprinting to every scrum, and kind of, you know, that's something that I think is quite important on a team, is someone that brings that energy just by doing it first, not just by saying it. Like, you know, you can bark orders all you want, but if you are sprinting over to take the tap penalty, people have no choice but to sprint after you. And that was, I was really, really impressed with that. Thought he took his try very well. It was a smart little piece of, like, smart maneuver. And I don't think you can fault the defense on it either. I don't think it was one of those, is it a good try or is it bad defending? I think it was just, you know, a good try. I think, you know, he gave a little show and go, and used his size to his advantage and got in underneath. And that's the type of thing that you
use his lack of size.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, but that's the type of thing that you kind of want with a scrum half, you know. So hopefully, if he is in future Irish squads, you know, this coming weekend and stuff, hopefully we do get to see him, because although I'm going to stand here and still believe that Kieran Marmion deserves his place ahead of him, which I think he does, I don't want to see someone that's there not getting their chance. I'm not that kind of that bitter about things. Like, if someone's on the bench and like they have the opportunity and the ability to bring something like they brought in that game, then use it. So I think, you know, the more experience and the more starting games and the more games like that he has under his belt, the better. Because, like, albeit Edinburgh weren't overly great, it's not too long ago we were talking about Edinburgh as, you know, last season even, you know, a very, very good team. So regardless of how they're performing, they have players. He's playing against a high enough standard there. So that's brilliant for him to get the game the way he did. And like you say, that he's been rightfully commended for calling out those penalties and for having smarts above and beyond his years. So it's excellent stuff. And I was really, yeah, I was very impressed.
Yeah, just on Edinburgh side, Bill Matta was incredible for Edinburgh. So really, really good. There was one, the hooker is called Cherry. And then he passed to Matta one stage, so it sounded like Cherry to Matta. Like to Cherry to Matta. And it was like right before half time. And it was so obvious, but I was like, you know, is there a guy called Cherry Tomato playing? That would be incredible. Another player, Westy, that is on the fringes of the Irish squad but didn't make the call-up was Coombs, who had, again, another fantastic game for Munster. Is he harshly done by not getting the call-up, or is he just still a year maybe away?
I don't know. I mean, I do think Coombs was particularly good, but if you're going to say Coombs is hard done by, would you not say a similar thing about Jack O'Donoghue? You know, Jack O'Donoghue was in an Ireland squad a year ago and didn't, if I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, but never really got his run at it. So I think, yeah, you could say, Coombs is unlucky not to be in that squad, but it's also a position that we're pretty flush in. And he is a young guy. So I think more performances like this are exactly what he needs. He needs that. We've said it about, maybe Sam touched on it there with Casey. We've said it about kind of when we've talked, the three of us ourselves, about maybe like the 10 debate or whatever. Like, if you're not starting, if you're not a guaranteed nailed on, or like maybe the Casey thing is, we know he's not the starter, but he's young, so we're giving him, you know, a bit of experience. If you're not kind of nailed on, you can't be too shocked that you're not getting called up. So I think Coombs just needs that. Like, I think maybe you were talking about it yesterday, Smurf. He works really well with the back row that are there in Munster. And he just needs to keep doing that. And, you know, hopefully in a summer tour, there is a lot of pressure on now. So I'm not surprised there wasn't a lot of changes in the Ireland squad. Hopefully if there is some sort of summer tour, we'll get to see a lot more of him, get to see him in a green jersey. But I think he'd be a little bit disappointed, but I don't think he can be too surprised.
I think he could be disappointed though, Westy, in the fact that from the weekend, it was himself and Conan. And I think he was better. And I think he has been better this season. I think Conan got the man of the match, but that's kind of a one-off game in a game like Leicester really realistically should have put massive scoreline on Dragons and didn't. He was sharp, and that was about the extent of it. And I do rate Conan very highly, but Coombs this season has been like a try-scoring machine, which is an area Ireland at the moment aren't like that. You know, I think there was a stat that he has more tries than the combined like 12 of the forwards in the squad combined like this season. So, you know, if we're lacking in try scoring ability, bringing in someone who is playing out of their skin and scoring tries to me seems like, you know, a no lose situation. And I think that the choice was there between himself and Conan at the time, and I don't understand why Conan made it and he didn't, because he was brought up and then let go from the squad. So unless you just sucked at training and like Andy Farrell was like not dealing with this chap, like, but
yeah, not the time for that.
It is quite perplexing, like, and I don't understand how, like, why he was brought into the squad just to kind of hold a bag for a few days and then let back go when the opportunity was there to keep him and let him develop a little bit, give him a little bit of game time, because I do think he has deserved it and like he's earned that spot.
Well, he's played as much as Craig Casey's played for Munster at this stage, hasn't he? Like, he's not, you know, people say like Craig Casey came in as youth, but like, why is it not okay then to bring Gavin Coombs in as youth? Do you know what I mean? It's perplexing in that sense. I agree though, looking at that back row, like, who do you take out of the Irish squad to replace him with? You know, I don't know, it's tough. Like, it is, as Wesley said, we have a plethora of talent back there, so I don't know, it's tough. But he's definitely one, you know, he will be an Irish number 8, I'm sure, at some stage. Great win for Munster. They push on. We'll move on to the Leinster game. This is at Rodney Parade, which just was just a pigsty. That pitch is a seriously bad way. But Leinster, also a bit of a pigsty. They were pretty awful for that first, well, for most of the game, actually. Unfortunately, not to any fault of his own, but the talking point obviously has to be Harry Byrne. because everyone has built him up as this now great Irish saviour. Fairly average game, nothing too exciting on his behalf, and again, it's nothing against him. He's only a young lad trying to get some game time. Ross was on at 12. Ross took the kicks. They sounded trying to take the pressure off Harry, possibly. But Sam, Harry Byrne, underwhelming, I think, is possibly the word to say.
Yeah, unfortunately so. Like, you don't want to be bashing a young out half, but unfortunately, for himself, that the media has brought this attention on him, and a game against Dragons and
Brian Rodney O'Driscoll,
and a game against Dragons and Rodney Parade in the middle of the Six Nations has suddenly become, you know, your Heineken Cup final to him. Like, the pressure was on him, the weight of the world was watching. People tuned in, myself included, to see what would happen, because I've been kind of quite vocal on wanting Jack Carty to be in the squad and not understanding how the Leinster third choice was being tipped ahead of him. And, you know, and I was underwhelmed, but that's unfortunate for him, because the pressure was on. And, you know, he was always going to have games like that as a, what is he, 21 or 22? Like, he was never going to be a complete world beater and dominator. So there was one good break and one good pass, and aside from that, really nothing horrendously bad. I think he kicked it straight out at one point, you know, but all the good out halves are doing that these days. So you can't really complain.
Should never then wear a jersey again. That's what I say. Then, kick the ball in the full, you're done.
But yeah, like, I think it was just kind of unfortunate for him that the pressure was on in such a game. And as well as that, they didn't click at all. I thought the whole team were totally underwhelming in the first half, and then nearly let Dragons back into it. I don't know who they paid at halftime or what they gave Dragons to say, if you do come back at us, just make sure you don't. It's like in The Incredibles when they like have to get the kid to come second. They're like, slow down. Like, because Dragons could have taken that. And I thought, you know, I thought Leinster kind of flattered. They got the job done when they needed to, but really they weren't that impressive. And it's been a couple of weeks really since they were their dominating self. And I know if that's the ins and outs and the having an entire squad go to the international setup, maybe that is detrimental for a team. Like, you know, that's...
Yeah, 100%. Like, they were... This was a tight game up until, really, the Dragons got their first yellow card. Leinster scored two tries, and that second try, another yellow card was given to the Dragons. And at that stage, then, it was very tough. But once the two players came back on, Dragons scored two tries. And, like, it was weird watching the game back, because you're like, okay, Leinster's just going to push on now, or Leinster are going to kick on. And it never happened. And the Dragons, we have to talk about the end of the game. Like, the Dragons score with 79 minutes on the clock, whatever, get to within 6 points. So not only could they, you know, I thought maybe if they were like 7 points down, they could only draw or something. I was like trying to see the logic, but they could have won the game, and they just kick it out on the full. Like, Westy, is judging by the player's reaction, it wasn't a mistake. He just didn't see the potential in Dragons going up the pitch and scoring. Was that it?
Yeah, first off, I don't think it was a team-wide decision. I think maybe one or two members of the leadership group decided that was enough. Again, as you said, like, up until the yellow card, they actually managed the game really well. They took every point that was on offer, and then, look, at the first yellow card gets them in a spot of bother. The second yellow card kind of signs the end of it. And that probably, like, gave them a fair amount of freedom then in the last 10 minutes when they were back to a full squad. Played some beautiful rugby. But I think they're probably, I'd say it's probably an intelligence thing. They're looking at managing the game. They're probably managing their table. They're 1 point behind Glasgow now, 1 point away from a potential spot in Europe next year. And they're probably willing to take that. I mean, if Leinster didn't have this air of being who they are, they probably would have gone for it. But I think, look at it again, you have to look at 13 men who had to make up for two missing for half the game. So I'd say they were fairly exhausted and happy enough to take a point in the table.
Yeah, that's fair enough. What was worse, the Leinster performance or their jersey? That's the big hot debate. That is one ugly jersey.
Yeah, it's not nice. It looks like, you know, if you gargle your toothpaste and then spit it back out, it's that kind of watered down toothpaste color. It's not the best. And like, we iconic, you know, glass houses can't throw stones. We've had some shockers in the past. We have some shockers this year. So like, I'm not going to be too critical of them, but I also just think you're going to Rodney Parade, don't wear your light colored jersey. Like,
it's not gonna add well.
But I thought with just to, on Westy's point, like, it not being a team-wide decision, it didn't even look like it was a player decision. He looked like he didn't want to kick it out. It looked like that came from the the stand or the
I don't know if it did. Looking
because
back,
he really did not look like he wanted to put it out when he did, and the rest of the team, and they all slumped. Like I don't know where the decision or who made the decision. I don't know if we'll ever be privy to that information, but it did not look like something they kind of wanted to do. And it's quite like Carberry against Japan in the World Cup, where, like, you know, everyone, what the fuck are you doing? And then he went, look, the point was worth it. And, you know, maybe in the long run, that point might be hugely beneficial to Dragons. But if it's not, they'll feel like that was an opportunity to just even imagine, like, the good feeling you get from scalping a Leinster. Like, that would
be massive
for them. From Leinster point of view, I didn't mention earlier, I thought the Penny was very, very good. I've been impressed with him a couple of times this season. I thought he was very good. I
thought Ryan Baird really stood up as well, especially in that first half. He was one of the few bright lights for Leinster. He showed
much like Harry Byrne. I think Baird has a lot of kind of unfavorable pressure put on him. Like, he's been seen, like, obviously the comparisons to Ryan is coming through thick and fast because they play in the same position, and, you know, I think it was in the same school and everything. And that's undue pressure on that poor young lad who might not develop as quickly as Ryan. But, you know, for him to be stepping up and having dominating games like that, you know, it can only do him the world of good. So hopefully the pressure is not going to get to him. Like, the pressure could easily get to you and you could just falter. So there's so many great white hopes we've had in the past that have just not quite made it.
Westy, to finish on the Leinster, we've said as a few podcasts now that they're not playing well and that they're not playing to their potential and they still continue to win games. Like, are we wasting our oxygen by doubting these performances, or is this going to come to, you know, is this going to come to a game where they need to step up and play and it's just not going to happen?
It'll be interesting to see how Europe progresses this year, because that's really the only area you can see them having to do that. I mean, we've been around once here now, and I think they've beaten everybody at least once, apart from Connacht, of course, because, you know, nobody's perfect, apart from us.
nice.
Yeah. I think they have a game plan that works. I don't think, you know, they're not playing. Normally, when you see a team, like, dominate, you look at, like, you know, you look at the All Blacks playing internationally, and it's skill here and offloads here and counterattack there. But I think the Leinster game plan is just much more controlled. They manage the game really well. They use their resources quite well, and they tend to out-muscle teams in the end. I think they're probably a bit more sluggish than usual this time because they've had a good few weeks off. And then, obviously, you know, the pitch conditions means that, like, it does have to be a tighter game of rugby. You're not going to be making massive line breaks when you can barely get a footing. And, you know, like, we know there's been two games a week played in this pitch, so it's taken a fair beaten all season, but
and professional soccer in the middle of it as well. Like, they have a soccer team playing there. I know that Smurf, you were saying some of the Connacht lads were talking about how when Connacht played them a couple of weeks ago, there was a soccer game scheduled for the next day, and it looked a state when we were playing them. So
yeah, I can only, like, playing rugby on a pitch like that is one thing. Playing soccer must be near on impossible. The ball has to go along the ground. It's just going to be tough. Yeah, you make some good points there, Westy. You know, a few weeks off and not exactly their full strength team, so we'll cut them some slack. They'll probably still win all around them. Moving on to Ulster versus Glasgow. This is actually, I watched this game Friday night. This is actually an entertaining but very sloppy game. Again, both teams had a lot of weeks off, and it kind of showed early on. Ulster didn't really get their form going until the end of the first half, where they scored just a gorgeous try. Where this, again, you have to bring up the point. We'll talk a bit about Ireland later on, but, you know, Ulster turned the ball over. The clock was in the red. They put a couple of passes out wide. They make a break. They trust their players. Cooney with a beautiful no-look offload to Mike Lowry, who then turns on the Jets and is gone. Score underneath the post. And it was beautiful to watch. And a lot of talk now coming out of this of Mike Lowry and, you know, his potential and, you know, a possible future with the Irish teams. Westy, Mike Lowry, you know, what's your kind of opinions on him?
I really like him. I think I've name checked them once or twice on this podcast. I think when we were talking about the Ireland squad initially and you said anybody you'd love to see in, I think I would love to see Lowry get the chance of, you know, one of those young lads who's brought in or in, and, you know, the way we used to bring in the kind of extended squad players. You know, it's always very impressive. Look, it wasn't perfect. I think he did miss one pretty glaring tackle early on in the game, but with ball in hand, he's just brilliant. And he has this great presence in the air for a man who's not as tall as, say, a Rob Kearney or John Porch, who we're used to seeing dominating those areas. I just think he's young, he's exciting. Again, probably because he played at 10 in the younger teams, he has a great read of the pitch. And it was great. I think he did, Ulster did kind of come alive when he had the ball, even though it didn't always work out for them.
Well, it was a contrast in pitches from Rodney Parade. It was like a carpet. It was beautiful to watch. And it really suits, obviously, a player like Mike Lowry to have that footing underneath. Cooney, Sam, what were you thinking about Cooney? Because obviously a lot of talk about him. Not as most electrifying game, but we've seen two offloads where I think I've seen on Twitter, if DuPont makes those offloads, there's, a million GIFs on Twitter and everyone's tweeting it out. Like, they were that quality.
Yeah, and that presence of mind and that ability is not something that surprises anyone about Cooney. Like, that's not the first time he's given, like, scintillating passes like that. He's an extremely intelligent rugby player, not just an extremely athletic rugby player. So, like you said, we will talk about the Irish team later, but it doesn't seem like there's any winning. I can understand the not changing a squad mid-tournament the way that they've gone about it and not bringing them in now. But, like, just it at some point it's well past actually the point of being an awkward conversation. Like, he's quite possibly the most on-form player in Ireland, not just in his position, in any position. And he just keeps churning out moments of like that. Brilliant. You can see there's definitely like a calming presence about him being the nine. You have Burns or Madigan playing a 10, and both seem to know what he's going to do. So he has a good relationship and rapport with them. They're both potentially in Irish squads as well. So I don't understand anything about leaving him out at this stage. Like, he's kind of, I think, beaten every possible argument except for the fact that maybe there's someone higher up that doesn't like him. That's kind of the only explanation for it. Like, from what I can see, he was great in the game. He might not have been his, chip it over the top, run on, score his own try sort of great, but he managed the game so well. He was the senior figure in the back line, and he's such a good player to do that. And then, for that offload, the moment for me wasn't the offload. The moment for me was the presence of mind to get into the position. He ran an offside as the crow flies line to get there so that he was in position and onside by the time that he needed to be there. And it's so brilliant. It's such good anticipation. And I don't think you can train that. I think that's an instinct thing.
And Cooney, like, he'll do it 10 times a game, but it'll only click once and someone will make a break. But Gibson Park does it actually, and I did it a few times against France for Ireland. That just unfortunately we didn't break any lines to be able to pull an offload to him. But those attacking scrum halves, you'll see them do it all the time. They'll be just offside again. Aaron Smith, TJ Perenara, they'll all do it, and it's brilliant. Another scrum half, Albie Matchison, come on and got yellow carded within 2 minutes, and it wasn't surprising because when he came on, he was literally bouncing with energy. He just wanted to hit someone, and ended up getting yellow carded. But they pull out a great stat during the, in the commentary. Ulster with a yellow card concede an average 12 points, which seems, I don't know, lads, you tell me, because I haven't really heard a stat like that before. Is that high, or do you think that's about average?
That sounds high to me. Maybe it's because I support Connacht, who just seem incapable of scoring against the team of 14 men. But I used to kind of think that, like, you get at least 7 for the 10 minutes, and that would be good. But, like, 12 is, like, that seems high to me.
Connacht concede 12 points when the other team has a yellow card.
That's
what Connacht do, unfortunately. Westy, Tom O'Toole come on, and one of those players as well that hasn't been playing a lot of rugby because, again, on the fringes, but isn't obviously good enough to make, say, a starting Irish team. Then he's not with the club and all that. He come on, played well. Madigan played another great game. Ulster played some really good stuff. They're 5 points behind Leinster in their conference with the same amount of games played. They obviously are playing Leinster now next week. Is that claw? Can they make up that deficit?
Yeah, they can. And like, I saw a lot of people kind of almost shocked that Ulster let the ball go out and didn't go for the bonus point win, because obviously every point now is going to be crucial to overtaking Leinster. But I think when you're down to 14 men and you've already conceded once, you kind of think, let's take the win here. I think it is possible. You have to look at it as well. Like, if I know Ulster started really slow in this game for about half an hour, well, maybe even 39 minutes, let's say, until they got the try. But you have to wonder if they'd gone up against a similar Leinster side, that the one that we saw play Dragons at the same time, how would that game have gone? Now, I know, like, it's apples and oranges, really, because it's different opponents, but I think if you're Ulster going into the game next week, I don't want to say you're confident, but you definitely have faith that you can win this one. Unfortunately, I don't see a way that they'll surpass Leinster in the conference without beating them. Leinster are going to, I don't think they've ever not gotten a bonus point in games they've played. So you have to take your shot now, I think.
Yeah, I think they would have maybe preferred to play them this weekend. And like Leinster are only going to get more and more refined as it goes on. Yeah. But yeah, brilliant. Ulster are fantastic to watch. I know, like I said, the first 39 minutes, they weren't by no means cohesive, but they were still exciting to watch, and they will try stuff. And it was, you know, exciting to sit down and watch them play against a Glasgow team that, again, wasn't cohesive, but still, it was an entertaining game. Move on to the last game, which I'm sure you guys have been waiting for, Connacht versus Cardiff. Bonus point win for Connacht, which was great to see. Again, not a great start for Connacht, Westy. You conceded kind of 10 minutes in. Were you worried at that stage, or were you still fairly confident that they could turn around?
I'm always a little bit worried, especially when we're playing Welsh sides, because we have had an awful run of form against Welsh teams this season.
Oh yeah, you tweeted out your negativity didn't work this week, Westy. You were negative on Twitter.
What was my negativity?
You said our record against Welsh sides is awful.
It is awful. That was only our second victory against the Welsh side this season.
Positive only.
No, yeah, I definitely, like, I think it was a good kind of wake-up call. Not that we were napping or anything like that, but it was a good kind of, you know, trial by fire where, you know, we always knew Cardiff were going to be dangerous. They're always a dangerous team that we play against. I saw a lot of people referencing the statistic that we beat them 24-26-0 in this fixture last year.
It was 29, because the last three fixtures we've had against them, a team has scored exactly 29 points.
Okay. So people were confident about it, but, you know, you only have to look back 2 or 3 months and you see how dangerous they really are. But yeah, I was definitely a little bit worried, but it was nice to see how he recovered. You know, we definitely had learned from mistakes in the past. You know, our game plan was clearly to kick everything that was, you know, kick all of our chances, kick all of our scores if they were available and build into the game that way. I think that was really essential in the way we managed the game, because we were able to, once we got up to six, we had a little bit more confidence, a little bit more free flowing, and then you just have some magic from Alex Wooten to get two fantastic tries.
It was the Alex Wooten game. He was that good. Like, he just I don't know if it was just really bad defending, which it probably was a little bit, but he just found space and was just incredible. And all signs, Sam, that he is going to sign what do you call a permanent contract, because it's obviously not a permanent contract, but what is the official term for it? It's not on loan anymore.
Sign permanent contract. He's on loan this season.
Contract. Yeah.
But you know, it seems to kind of, it was a couple of weeks ago now at this stage, he was hinting that he wanted to sign permanently. He said, like, oh, you know, I'm hoping that Connacht and myself can make an announcement very soon, which we were all happy out about. It still hasn't come yet from Connacht. And now that he's doing this, I'm getting a bit nervous. I do believe that will happen, but just that the kind of the Connacht fan and in me knows that the potential of players up and sticks and going back to the other teams when they're doing well can happen. So, you know, when I see him, whatever media post they do of him announcing it, I'll be over the moon, because he's not just a finisher. He's a very good playmaker. He's a really intelligent rugby player. And I was so happy to see him score the two tries, because he's keeping on that, you know, one in every game almost. I think it's 9 in 11 games this season, which is a ridiculous stat for anyone. You know, if he keeps that up, he might overtake the likes of Fionn Carr or Matt Healy. He might just be a little bit too old, but I don't know. We can keep hope of it.
Someone at Connacht should probably say to him, like, look it, stop scoring tries.
For this is exactly it. Yeah.
Munster won't want you for, if just stop being incredible. We know you're good, but just let other teams not know.
The turn of pace is something spectacular, something that Ireland probably looking for in a winger. And, you know, he was in Ireland squads before, when he was kind of, before he got injured at Munster. So it'd be nice to see him get called up. And I think Andy Friend did reference that in the post-match stuff. He said, you know, he's been involved with Irish squads before, so hopefully he'll be back in the mix. So the turn of pace for the first try. But the step for the second try, to stop on the dime like that, like we talk about American footballers do it all the time, that the shuffle step or the stop step. That's a really, really difficult skill. Something that Larmour is very good at, and something that Larmour gets praised for doing, is the ability to stop dead and then keep going and go back. And it was a brilliant finish. And you can call it bad defending all you want. There's nothing anyone could have done about it. He stopped and then he put on the afterburner. So what a great display from him.
Yeah, he seems to be playing just with incredible confidence at the moment. And that comes with these performances. And
comes with enjoyment as well. He said it himself in the post-match stuff and the pre-match stuff, that he's enjoying being here and he's enjoying the atmosphere and he's enjoying the way that the team trains. And probably the the respect he's getting, because I think that he will have felt a little bit, you know, aggrieved about how he was treated after the injury in Munster a couple of years ago now at this stage. But he was like parachuted into the Munster starting team ahead of Zeebo for a game against Racing. Like, so, you know, he was really, really highly like coveted kind of then. And then it's just an unfortunate injury led to him kind of falling down the pecking order.
Yeah, he is. Hopefully we do. Hopefully we get some announcements coming from Connacht, because they're taking their sweet ass time with them. We all want some big announcements. Westy, Bundy was back, not by any means his best performance, but I think we all agree he brings much more than just performance. Like, how did you rate his day at the weekend?
I don't know. In terms of his actual play around the park, I did think at times he looked to be a little bit off the pace. It is worth mentioning, like, he's recently had a kid. He come back from a knee injury. He played, what did he play against? Was it against Dragons? I think he played 20 minutes at the end or something. Like, and he hasn't played yet for Ireland, so he really hasn't seen a lot of the pitch lately. I think his influence, like, as Sam said, I was reading an article saying that, you know, training, he's the voice, he's a real kind of spur behind the team. And I think one of the great things about Bundy is, even when it's not necessarily his best day, when he takes a carry, it still takes, he's still committing two or three players each time. So it is, even when he's not been kind of, let's say, as kind of inspiring as we're used to seeing him, maybe with the ball in his hand, he's still there doing the grunt work, opening up space for other players. Like, he's still an immensely hard-working player. And I think, even though he's not, wasn't on his best day, it could have been a different result without him. You know, those spaces around the fringes that Alex Wooten so brilliantly took, you know, capitalized on, those spaces might not have opened up, you know.
He brings an intensity as well on the defensive side that I just don't think anyone else can, even when he's not in his day. Like, his speed and aggression is just unmatched. He was brilliant in that sense, and he's only going to get, well, he's back at Ireland's squad now, so he probably won't, I can't imagine he'll play this weekend. I don't know, but we'll get into the team selection as
on that as well, Smurf. I was very much the same kind of mentality about his performance. I was like, you know what, he brings the intensity, and he's not really lit it up. He might be a little bit off the pace, but actually, I listened back to the post-match press conference with Andy Friend, and one thing that he mentioned was how the reason we won in the manner that we did was because he was like adamant, and he made sure that every player was drilled on not trying to win it themselves and not trying to do the individual thing, which is something that we've fallen foul to a couple of times when we've been, like we mentioned earlier, when Connacht have been up 15 to 14 men, players actually don't capitalize on that because the game plan goes out the window. And it's something that's happened at home a couple of times in the past few games. I think it was four games in a row we had lost at home. And Andy Friend said that a lot of that was because when things weren't going wrong, the plan went out the window and players started to try and kind of be the Roy the Rovers. So I think that actually it's very commendable to on Bundy's part that, you know, he has an opportunity there to have a massive game and to put himself back in Andy Farrell's reckoning and to go, you know, look at how much of a boss I am. I've absolutely dominated a Cardiff backline. But no, I think he went about it in a very professional manner, and that's actually stood more to the team, because like Westy said, that then the game plan allows itself to unfold. And, you know, we at Connacht are blessed with wingers like Matt Healy and Wooten and fullbacks like John Porch, and they can only thrive if your centres are, like you said, pulling in two or three players. So I think it was a really, I thought at first it might have been a bit off the pace, but I actually think that it was a reserve professional performance by choice, because Andy Friend has kind of mentioned that that was one of the reasons we were losing recently, is because everyone was trying to do too much themselves and not buying into the system and not buying into how it works as a team.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Alex Wooten had a great game. One criticism, the first try, let's give the ball to our boy Porchy. You know what I mean? Let's get him a try, okay? Let's keep our boy Porchy happy. Again, no announcement yet of his extension or any of that, so let's keep him on side, Alex. Just a little tidbit going forward. Westy, Jack Carty was a topic of a family disruption in your house.
Yeah.
People said he played, you thought he played brilliantly, and I have to say, I was critical at the start, but I haven't watched the game back. He was very good. He was involved in everything that was good about Connacht and controlled the game well. As I said, it does annoy me sometimes when he does these, they're just sort of like silly mistakes that he's just not fully concentrating. I don't know. That's what it comes across as, because he's obviously just so much better than that. But Jack Carty, Westy, you were impressed.
Yeah, okay, I was very impressed. I thought he managed the game extremely well. I thought he distributed really well. Has a lovely little offload for one of the for Wooten's second try. He's a lovely turn and pop. I thought on a whole, I mean, again, his kicking statistics, what was he, 90%? Or I don't know the exact in front of me. I do think maybe towards the end of the game, he started to fall off a little bit. There is that where he fails to find touch for a penalty, misses a, well, I mean, what I think was essentially a touchline conversion, but again, off his good foot. So maybe he did play the full 80, it's worth mentioning, because I don't think we had a 10 on the bench to cover him, really. I think the idea was if he had to go off, Daly might step in, because he's done that for us before. Yeah, I think, look, yeah, maybe towards the end of the game, not as good, but I think on the whole, I thought his performance was brilliant. I think he kept their defence staying back. Look, a lot of his kicks went pretty near to Morgan, and Morgan was fantastic all day, dealt with them really well. But that constant pressure of keeping them having to keep men back, again, the counter-attacks are really strong. Maybe we didn't deal with the counter-attacks as well as we could have. But I thought the vision and the management from McCarthy were brilliant. Very controlled.
Sam, I assume you have a similar thought process?
Yeah, I think he managed the game brilliantly. I think he did a lot of things that people don't credit him for very well. One of the things, like, you know, is his ability to find space with kicking is always very kind of well regarded. His passing is much better than I think people give him credit for, and I think that was showcased. There was a few times, like the little flick on to Delan for the break and a few of the kind of really quick tap on passes. Those are things that, you know, he might not get the credit for because they happened that quickly, but they managed the game, and I think he found the soft shoulders very, very well. I think he was really smart in the way that he passed the ball and managed the game. And I think that, like, much like I said, I praise Bundy for doing it, for keeping to the game plan and not trying to do the thing which would let him stand out, not trying to win the game and get the Ireland call up off the back of, you know, a 50 pointer running the everything and trying everything kind of game. I think that it was a really professional performance. He showed great kind of awareness to kick. Like, there's nothing you can do when a fullback is playing as well as that fullback was playing. Morgan was very, very good. So I thought, no, I was really, really happy with him. And I think that that sort of level of professionalism, that sort of ability to play make, is something that we could definitely use in the Ireland squad. But I'm blue in the face saying that at this stage.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the term quarterbacking the game, it was thrown around. I think that was very apt for what he did. He just controlled it. And as I said, everything that was good about Connacht, he was always in the middle of it. So it was a great game. Unfortunately, moving on to the Irish squad, it wasn't enough to get him called up. I think we all sort of saw that coming, but more not because Carrick doesn't deserve it, just because, as you said, Sam, it's mid-tournament. He's never going to do a lot of wholesale changes. But looking ahead to this game at the weekend, Ireland versus Italy, this has now become a pretty big game in a lot of different ways. Obviously, Andy Farrell wants to get a win because no Irish team had ever started with two losses in a Six Nations. So no team's definitely never started with three losses in a Six Nations. So he doesn't want to be, you know, the record of, or the holder of those two records going forward. So he's going to obviously try and play as strong a team as possible. Whereas a lot of us, a lot of our mindsets as fans is like, this competition's over. Let's start using it as a, you know, experimentation. He doesn't see that because his job's on the line. Westy, with the squad that we see that's still there unchanged, what sort of lineup? I'm not going to ask you to do a full lineup, but say like your 9 and 10, what would you like to see this weekend?
Look, in an ideal situation, we're playing against Italy, so you'd like to see, let's say, the other 9 and 10 start. So if you want to say, in this case, I'd almost say start Casey, because Gibson Park has got a decent amount of game time in this tournament. Like, start the last game, maybe give the third guy a chance. And then, you know, either Burns or Byrne, I'm pretty okay with it. I think, on the whole, I think we've seen a lot more of Ross Byrne. I think I'd like to see them stick with Billy Burns and see how he goes. I'd prefer it to be Carthy, but that's because I'm insanely biased. But yeah, that's what I'd like to see. I think realistically, we're not going to see that. As you say, there's a lot more pressure on this than there would normally be on the Italy game, let's say. I don't like being so disrespectful towards them, but that's the case, unfortunately. I'd say we'll probably go with a mix of experience and inexperience. So it'll probably be the likes of Murray starting with, like, Murray and Burns or Murray and Byrne. I struggle to see Casey starting after him not coming off the bench against France. So in that case, it could be Gibson Park starting with Casey on the bench, and then, I mean, I imagine Johnny Sexton will probably play the game, but I just think that logistically that's not the smartest decision we could be making here.
Could we see a Casey Sexton pairing, or is that, we haven't seen anything like that, so it would be a bit foolish?
I'd be shocked. I don't think so. I think the best you'd hope for is Gibson Park Sexton in that regard.
God, that's
just my opinion. I don't know. Maybe you think differently. I just don't.
What would you like to see? What would you like to see? Not what do you expect?
I'd love, well,
I'd love to see Casey start. Squad, obviously not like Blade, Carty.
I'd go Casey, Billy Burns, and I'd have Murray and Ross Byrne on the bench to dig you out if you need them.
You've charmed me, Westy. You've charmed me. Sam, what do you think? Again, within the squad, let's not Connor Fitz on the bench or anything like that.
What do I think or what do I want? Because they're very, very different.
Give us both, but give us what you think first.
What I think will happen is actually I think that Casey might get his chance because he was on the bench, and I think that enough kind of outrage has happened around him not getting on at all, and we've seen enough kind of a Gibson Park now in the last couple of weeks that I think he might be on it with Sexton to manage him through the game, which I think is not the right call. I think personally the right call would be a Casey with a Burn. So you have two players working it out with each other, playing a kind of quicker game than Sexton might play. But I think if they're going to drop Casey in, they'll drop him in with the experience outside him so that he's got someone kind of managing him through it. That or, like Westy said, having Burns and Gibson Parker, Ross Byrne and Gibson Park. Of the two there, I think that the Irish management would probably pick Byrne just because Burns has gotten the start and he was on the bench the previous time and came on. But I'd like to see Burns. So my ideal pairing would be Casey and Burns, and just allow the two of them to grow into it, allow the two of them to play their natural games, because both are effective natural games. Individually, both play, like, you know, Casey plays with kind of younger, less experienced out halves like Ben Healy regularly enough, so he's, you know, he's used to that and they're used to it, and they'll be playing against, albeit very, very good halfback pairing, but a young, inexperienced halfback pairing as well. Like, what are the
Darby's and Varney?
Yeah, they're what, like 19 and 20, something like that. So, you know, that give them the opportunity. Like, that's the one I'd like to see. Realistically, I think the Irish team are going to mix inexperience with experience and put either the likes of a Gibson Park with Burns or a Casey with Sexton.
Yeah, I think we will see Casey. I don't think he'll start. I think he'll come on. I think we'll see Byrne and Sexton as our tens. I think he'll start Ross Byrne with Sexton on the bench just to come on with, you know, say 20 minutes to go and see it out. What I'd love to see, I'd love to see Casey start. I think Casey, from what I've seen against there at the weekend, I think he deserves it. I think he was really good. And he really excited me to what he possibly could be. And obviously either Burns or Byrne. At the same time, I have no real preference at the moment. I think Billy Burns is possibly a more exciting player. But then again, if he's not going to be given the license to be that player, you know, what is the point of having him in there? Like, Mike Catt came out today and said that, like, these players should be able to think on their feet. And it's like, well, did they know they're allowed to do that? Or are they told to do this specific thing over and over again? Do you know what I mean? Like, Billy Burns is not an idiot. And he's not...
Ross Byrne's defense, I'm not a huge Ross Byrne fan, never have been. But I think that there comes a point now where the natural progression seems to be that Harry Byrne is going to overtake him. I think that Ross Byrne has been in enough Irish squads and been on the bench and come on with 5 minutes to go, or been thrown to the wolves against England enough times to actually say, you know what, have this Italy game, show us what you can do. And then at least we've seen it. And you've not just been skipped generationally, whereby you were the understudy to Sexton until such a point that the younger brother overtook you. Like, he's, you know, we played England twice, been hockeyed, come off 5 minutes to go. He's been in and out. I think that I'd feel for the guy if they were his only opportunities in an Irish shirt in the end, when Harry Byrne does usurp him, if that's what's going to happen.
Ross Byrne's like the opposite of most players. Normally you get game time against the crapper teams. He's always thrown in against like England, and he's like, you know, baptism of fire. So I agree,
it highlights the big problem is that we don't prepare these guys. We don't give them enough game time against like Italy, or even, you know, and I'm not like in, like, because of the England game, I think of England and France as the two biggest games that we play, especially when playing England away in Twickenham. But even give them like substantial game time against Scotland and Wales, and then we're shocked when they go against a much better English team who, you know, exploit it. And it's like, oh, how'd that happen? It's like, oh, we're not playing these guys. We're not getting they're getting 5 minutes at the end of the game against Scotland and starting against England.
It should be effective. That's more than enough time, Westy. That's more than enough time. We'll leave it on this last point, but we all know how good Italy have looked, especially against England. This is by no means an easy win for Ireland. Like, Westy, how scared should we be of this Italian team?
I think we should be at least a little bit scared. you know, we've pointed out a few times, I think a lot of people have been quite dismissive of them as well this year, but it really is a restructuring year for them. They have a really young team. Like, what one of you guys told me at the weekend, Tomaso Allan has more caps than the rest of the backline combined. Like, it's insane. So I think these guys are young, they're hungry, and okay, they have been on the back end of some scorelines. I've made my points about the English game perfectly clear. They were robbed by referee decisions. But they definitely have potential. They're playing a nice, quick, effective brand of rugby, and it just hasn't really come together for them yet. I think all they need is for us to go out there with our best team thinking, yeah, we'll wipe the floor with these guys. And that's the lapse in concentration that they'll need to get a few tries against us. We've only scored 2 tries in the last 2 games. Italy have scored more and lost by a lot more.
One of those tries was a botched line out that just happened to bounce to Keller. Sam, what's your views on this Italian team? A potential banana skin for us?
Definitely a potential banana skin. I like Wesley says they're a team in transition, and I'll just argue and say that they're a team in transition for the last 21 years. Like, how many?
You're an Italian hater, Sam.
I absolutely am. I've come to the realization that I can't hack them. It's 21 years of waiting for them to come good, and how many false dawns have we gotten? But no,
I'll accept one more false dawn. No, in reality,
this looks like an actual dawn as opposed to a false dawn. They had a good under 20s. That team is kind of coming through and is continuing to come through, and you see the fruits of that with, like, you know, inexperienced 9s and 10s. I think we will be a bit too strong for them, but it is a potential banana skin. Being a Liverpool fan, a Philadelphia Eagles fan, a Connacht fan, and an Ireland fan, if we lose to Italy, everyone else will be pissed off, and I'm going to do the, geez, you can only help but laugh, like everything just falling down around me. Like, I got to stop supporting teams I like because it just doesn't work out for them. But no, I think we'll get over the line in this. I'm hoping to see a few things click. My cat would want to back up his words now. It's saying that, you know, oh no, if he was always told he could run that. It's like, okay, well, we want to see a few things. And I think that if that's the case, and if they were given that license, and if they are allowed that license against Italy, well, then Billy Burns has to be starting at 10 because he's the most inventive of the out halves available. Should be a good game, should be an entertaining game. Hopefully we play as well as Italy do. I'd like to see, you know, a bit more variety. Maybe someone, without sounding harsh, someone other than Lowe on the wing, you'll bring in a Conway or something, bring in a bit more kind of that. And then from a selfish point of view, I'd love to see Bundy involved. Henshaw and Ringrose have been very good so far this tournament. We're very aware of what they can do. We're very aware of their abilities, but it's not long ago that, you know, it was who would partner Bundy in the center, and he was an ever present, and everyone else around him was getting in. So, you know, I'd like to see him get in for some of the game time at least.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, the problem I think with this game is Italy are going to score at least 2 tries, I think, to just have that firepower. So as you said, Wesley, like, we're not exactly prolific going forward here. So can we put up enough points to beat them? Because they are event enough, and they keep the ball alive enough that they are going to cause us problems. So maybe, Westy, I think you said last week our tactics to bore teams to death. Maybe that's what we're going to do here. So who knows? But maybe Conway. No, Conway's not. Is Conway in the squad?
He is in the squad, I think.
He was
maybe,
in the squad.
Maybe,
yeah,
his new hair will bamboozle the Italians, and they just won't know what's happening. So
Strange things have happened.
We'll leave it there, boys. Hopefully we're back. Well, we will be back next week, hopefully with some good, positive Irish news and not talking about...
A good win in Italy on Friday night for Connacht.
Connacht as well. Portree to score 2 tries. You heard it here first. We'll be bragging
big,
about
big
that.
Big Abraham Papalidis score. Come on for 10 minutes, score another try in the last 5 minutes.
Just, you know, if it's 5 metres and Papa gets the ball, just get out of the way. Just get out of the way. But boys, appreciate it.
Or be Andrew Brace, get in the way and help us.
Yeah, ballsy move by him. Appreciate it, lads. Chat to you next week.
Bye.
Cheers, boys.